Breaking the Panel is made possible by you and other listeners just as awesome as you are. If you want to support the show and get a little something in return, just go to patreon.com/breakingthepanel, because we do appreciate the help.
Hey, Rick, what are you doing?
Come here, Morty. I just discovered the greatest podcast in the world, Morty. It's called Breaking the Panel, Morty.
Oh, yeah? What's so great about it?
They got this guy, Charles McFall, Morty. He's the rock god of podcasting, Morty, and he talks about all sorts of geeky stuff.
Oh, wow. What kind of stuff?
He even watches Rick and Morty, Morty.
Oh, yeah? What did he say?
Last week, he made a Mr. Meeseeks reference.
I'm Mr. Meeseeks. Look at me. Ooh, yeah. You're listening to the Breaking the Panel podcast. This is getting weird.
These days, the comic book owns pop culture. You'll find it all in the panel of your favorite comic book. Us, we're living the comic's life. We're Breaking the Panel.
And welcome to Breaking the Panel. I love that intro. That was awesome. I'm Rock on a Podcasting, Charles McFall. And Paul Klotz, you don't hear this very often on the show, as I introduce you, or any other time. You're right. My Mr. Meeseeks was way more Elmo than Mr. Meeseeks. Paul Klotz, everybody.
I know I'm right.
I thought you might have just quit the show over that because you're so quiet. And in the we are forced to have a diverse cast because of, you know, laws and stuff. Chris Wisdom.
And in that vein, tune in to Botch Podcast. Get your very own Chris Wisdom action figure.
Oh, man. Okay. I know we talk about them probably a little too much, and they obviously talk about us. It's a big bromance going on. But in the current episode that they just released this week, that promo instead of Patreon, was it not the best thing you ever heard? Or have you guys not heard that one?
Yeah, they said my name like 42 times. Of course it was the best thing I ever heard.
I was almost in tears. I was laughing so hard. It was well done, guys. Well done. We appreciate the hate that you shared for Breaking the Panel. It was awesome. We've got another speak pipe, but it can come later. It'll come after the break. It's fine. No emails this week, so let's just jump right in. Star Wars Obi-Wan Kenobi film in the works. I thought this was rumored along with Han Solo when they were rumored. Now it's official. Yeah.
Yeah, so they've got a director. It's Stephen Daldry, who's an Oscar-nominated director. He directed Billy Elliot in The Hours. He's attached right now. It currently doesn't have a script. It currently doesn't have any actors. It's just an active production. I guess, so it's news because it's breaking today, that along with there's some semi-confirmation about a Yoda and Boba Fett movie as well. But this is stuff since the first time... good Lord, what was it? Star Wars Anthology? Wasn't that the original title of Rogue One? Was going to be... They were going to call that line Star Wars Anthology.
Right, because they're one-off stories of filling in the history of...
Yeah, so, I mean, there was always that supposition that this was material that was going to be covered. This has always been... This is just confirmation for everybody. So I don't know that it's as compelling or as exciting as the internet has made it out to be today, but it's new and shiny today. So, you know, we'll get on the bandwagon and talk about it a little bit.
You know what other bandwagon we try to get on? No, okay. I'll just do it myself. Thanks. I appreciate you. Give me a pencil, though, to write this down. Do I have to have a requisition form, Chris? Just curious.
You do, because in God we trust, all others must sign hand receipts.
Dragon Con, man. We are going to be at Dragon Con live coming up Memorial Day weekend. That's not the right weekend. Labor Day weekend, September 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. We will be there all 4 days as a network and, of course, as a show. It's going to be amazing and fun. And our show is going to be Sunday evening. I believe it's the 8:30 time slot. Yeah, it should be the 8:30 time slot. We'll be live streamed. You can go to the podcast and new media track, the Dragon Con podcast and new media track on Facebook. That is where it'll be live streamed. And of course, if you are at Dragon Con, please come by and say hi, and we'll take pictures with you and sign your baby's foreheads, whatever you want. It's all good.
Wait, so when you told me that you were washing your hair that Thursday before Dragon Con, this is why there's not going to be a show?
There's not going to be a show on Thursday because we're doing it Sunday.
What we?
Sunday, Sunday, Sunday.
Do I get to be on the show? I don't understand.
Crap. Klotz, I thought you told him he wasn't allowed to come. Rule number one of Dragon Con is don't be a jerk. Therefore, Chris Wisdom is banned, right?
Why does Phil get to
I am a kind and generous lover, so if you want to tell him that, that's your business.
Now, I'm going to take a moment to ask you guys, both of you are newcomers to Dragon Con. I'll start with you, Paul Klotz. What is maybe the one thing that you're looking forward to here or that you hope to get out of it?
I am hoping to meet a whole bunch of people that I've heard you name drop forever. In the 3 years that I've been podcasting with you, you've said a lot of names and I don't know any of them. So that'll be exciting. What I'm hoping to take away is, you know, some pretty amazing experiences, some networking opportunities, a little bit of Chris's soul.
Chris is
swag
in trouble.
From the show floor. You know, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I'm open to it.
Well, I can tell you and the audience, and thanks for Chris Wisdom for picking out the right particular celebrity that we'd like to have. Kelly Sue DeConnick is going to be on the panel with us live for that show as well.
Excellent.
So that's going to be very fun to have her on and talk about the different things. Blah, 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 blah. And hopefully I will not trip over my words while she's there.
Not likely.
Well.
I'm hoping.
But it's going to be a great conversation, and tune in. But Chris, what is it you hope to experience while you're here?
Well, as of, the other day when I found out, just Alton Brown. I don't care about the rest of this crap. Just Alton Brown's going to be there. I hope I remember to come to our panel. No. No. So Alton Brown, Timothy Zahn, I would love to go listen to these heroes of mine. Networking, obviously. I kind of, not for the same reasons, I think, that Paul wants to meet these people you've name-dropped. I just want to verify that they know you. Or that you're just like a kid with podcasting baseball cards, and you're like, yeah, I know him, and I know him, and I know him.
Well, okay, so Tom Merritt and Veronica Belknap, Frog Pants won't be there, but right now, Brian Brushwood will be there. Justin Robert Young will be there. Brian
Charles,
Dunaway.
This was not an opportunity for you to name drop them all at the same time.
I'm sorry, my bad. Philip Keating will be there. Philip freaking Keating will be there, man.
Oh, screw that guy.
I'm pretty sure the last time I messaged Tony P. Henderson and say, hey, are you excited? You get to hang out with Charles and me. And he was like, who?
Well, that's because he doesn't know you. He hasn't been on the show with you. He's only been on the show with me and
some
bad thoughts.
It was in response to a message that he sent to me. So he knows me.
Yeah. I'm just saying, sometimes the celebrities don't want to be the bad guy, and they let their agency
all
handle that.
All I know is that Chris and Tony P. Henderson have never been on the same show. So
that's true. I know.
Yeah, we
right?
have.
No, you and haven't.
Yeah, we have. I think we've been on a panel show before.
Name
it. It was one of the movie shows. It was on. It was one of the.
So how do we know
table.
It's just not you doing ventriloquism or something?
How do you know that was actually Tony that ever called in on any of the shows that I wasn't on?
I get accused of name dropping. Chris is stretching to name drop right here. I'm just saying. Don't pull a muscle
so
trying
Chris
to name
Chris knows
drop
like
Tony.
One person in podcasting. That's cool. I mean, outside of us. I mean, he knows us.
No, I was going to say, by transitive property, I know a bazillion people as long as Charles actually knows these people.
Well, I do, and hopefully you'll get to meet some of them and become fast friends with them as well. It's a great community, man. You guys, I'm trying to avoid being overly strong about it and overly hyped, but I really think you guys are coming away with a really great experience, and I really do hope you get to, like Chris, you get to go hear those Timothy and Alton, and I mean, not everybody does a panel, so maybe you just get to meet them in Artist Alley, or if they're in Author Alley, or wherever they end up landing, that'll be in the app. Definitely, for those listening, if you're coming to DragonCon, download the DragonCon app. That's where all the update information will be on our... We don't really have appearances. We're on panels. I don't... Man, I have not drank at all. Maybe that's my problem tonight. I need some alcohol to get this smoothed out. But you can definitely find out all the dates and times for the panels as they may or may not change during the weekend. So definitely get the app. We got another thing to announce, but first I want to talk about Rebirth. We're getting some new blood in the Rebirth.
Yeah, there's been some news that Jim Lee's been meeting with Jonathan Hickman. And Charles, I know I have told you several times that if you ever wanted to read the single greatest run of Fantastic Four ever, it's Hickman's run. And yes. that is not to take anything away from Stan and Jack, but the things that Jonathan Hickman did, and I've always referred to him as Marvel's Geoff Johns. And if you can get Geoff Johns plus Marvel's Geoff Johns under the same banner, I can't even imagine the stories that could be told. But Jim Lee went so far as to tease out yesterday a photo of his lunch saying, having lunch with Jonathan Hickman at WB Commissary, world domination plans on hold as we succumb to the temptation of avocado toast. Which seems rather mundane and very pedestrian to, you know, tweet what it is that you're having for lunch, but he's doing it with Jonathan Hickman. And I'm excited.
Does that excite you, Klotz? Is that something you're getting your druthers up for?
Why do I care who writes for DC books that I'll never read?
Chris, I think we
is
need to have
his mom's
an
name Martha? Oh! I might care about that.
I think we need to get Klotz some Xanax and some 5-hour energy if he's going to be on the same panel as us at DragonCon. I'm just saying. I mean, we gotta get some love in you, man.
You're gonna do that with Xanax? That's an interesting choice.
If I said roofies, then you know what's coming.
I mean, Viagra and cocaine will get us there. I'm just saying.
Oh, dude, though, seriously, I know Chris. You are. God, man, you are a godsend and an angel on earth, bringing the biggest pot of coffee or the biggest coffee maker known to man for that weekend. That's going to help out a lot because it's going to take a lot of energy. Now, the schedule's not nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be for us because I thought we were going to be there till 12:30 minimum every night, which puts us back at that McFall Hostel at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning, then getting up to leave by 8:30 the next morning. That's not true. Only one night will be that way. The others will end earlier, and some of them start later. So that will help out. But you're gonna need your energy for this, guys. It's a lot. It's a lot of walking. It's a lot of awesomeness, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. Klotz, I actually have not talked to you since this came out. What amazing thing happened to Breaking the Panel this week?
Your segues are awful. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I seriously hate you right now. Chris Wisdom, can you help me out, bro?
Are you talking about the totally awesome thing where Paul and Chris left you dangling on the podcast?
Yes, that. I hate you both. You know what?
Is it the fact that we got nominated for awards?
Oh, my God, yes, it is.
Whoa, really? That's pretty cool.
You know what? CinemaSins wants their check back, Klotz.
No,
they want their check back.
No, they got to turn to Chris for that.
No, we understand. You really love CinemaSins. You have to hide it because they pay you. Okay.
So Charles is once again referencing something that happened outside of the show, and all you poor folks at home have no idea what
now here,
he's talking about.
Now, see, that is called a softball, where one of you two jackholes could take a swing and talk about a subject and be interesting for a minute on the show today. You're killing me, Smalls.
We're interesting all the time.
Yeah, I mean, we're good. It's you're the one that's reaching here.
I hate you guys so much right now.
How about you finish talking about this amazing award thing that you wanted to talk about, and then we can talk about CinemaSins if we want.
Now, I just want to smash my own foot with this hammer right this second.
Please do.
you would have had a great day the other day. I sat down at my desk, and it's that moment when you sit down. I was taking a big drink of Mountain Dew, and I looked just beyond my monitors to the wall where the foam is split just enough for a giant spider the size of a quarter to sit there. And I just stopped, and I froze. And instantly, Klotz, I thought of you in the whole sense of Jurassic Park. I went, oh, my God, I hope that's not a clever girl, and two more spiders are going to come from the side and kill me. that was my instant thought. And then I went and got it. I thought something jumped on me just now. Yeah, it did. It freaked me out, man. Then I got this hammer, and I went to kill it, and I got most of it, but not all, so I wasn't sure if it was dead, and it fell to the ground, and I screamed like a little girl. And then I got some poison and just hosed it.
Is that the same basement you're planning to put a whole bunch of us up in when we come to Dragon Con?
So, you know what? We got nominated for it.
You're right here, you. Folks.
I want to thank you all for going out and getting us nominated this year. It was so exciting to not just have Breaking the Panel, but every show on Giant Size Team Up Network that had the opportunity to participate. Some chose to sit out, and that's fine. I understand that. But everybody who did put in for it got nominated. So Botched and Pokemon Go Podcast are under gaming, which is awesome to have a competition within our network. So 2 out of 10 nominees are from Giant Size Team Up Network in that category. We got nominated in TV and movies. Blazing the Fender Report got nominated in entertainment. And then some peripheral shows that are friends of the network, like my own show, got nominated. And Carl's shows got nominated. And it's been good. And
name dropping is low, but name dropping yourself is even lower.
I'm sorry. When's the last time you name dropped me? You know what? If you just pay me some attention, this marriage would work out better, Klotz.
I mean, I talk about you all the time. I mean, I'm not always saying nice things, but
not always, not ever.
I name drop you to the FBI every chance I get. You might not. You may never ever meet the criteria or the description of the person they're looking for, but it doesn't stop me from calling them and telling them where to find you.
So these cold-hearted alt-centerists just don't want to support love. But I'm going to say I love all you guys. Thank you for getting us nominated, doing the footwork to get us out there. And there is no voting by the general public. It'll be a closed academy-type voting experience, and therefore we'll be able to announce whenever they do the announcement. We'll be able to announce when you can tune in.
Oh, speaking of which, did you get that checkout?
You know what? I'm just going to let you run the show, Klotz, because, you know, I've got...
Okay. All right. Well, to sum up the conversation about the podcast awards, we're so pleased to be nominated, and we're so proud of the other shows on the network that were nominated, and we're real happy for friends of the show and the network that were nominated, and we hope everybody wins, except for, you know, Botched and Pokemon Go, because obviously, like, it's Thunderdome.
Now, the gaming category is Thunderdome. I mean, it's a tough category to be in. Being nominated, honestly, I've accepted that that's a great place to be, is nominated. Win would be great, but no tears lost, you know. Though I am the Susan Lucci of Podcast Awards. I've been nominated. I think this makes 15 times I've been had a show nominated in one form or another, and no wins. Although Brian Ibbett is the king of winning these awards, I'll tell you.
But this year you're not in the also-ran category. You're in an actual category this time, so you should be proud. It's an accomplishment.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris. I will take that as an accomplishment. Klotz, what are you playing this week, man? What has got your interest going on?
Well, actually, it's been kind of a crazy week, so I haven't been playing too... Well, I've been playing Overwatch again. Overwatch is having its Summer Games event right now with Summer Games loot boxes.
I'm sorry, how old is Overwatch? Because there's a new, like, is it Fortnite that's a new one?
Fortnite's a new one. We can talk about that in a
second. I'm trying to get my...
No. Right. I mean, by all means, I would love to talk about Fortnite.
Whatever you want to talk about. I'm just trying to get it lined up. So Overwatch has been out, a year?
It's a little over a year. I think it's been about a year and a half. And last year, during the summer, the Olympics, they did their first Summer Games event. So it's cool. It's back again this year. They brought back Lucio Ball, which is a like kind of weird 3-on-3 soccer variant with the one character that's on rollerblades and has a boop gun. It's kind of like a really slow Rocket League for me though. And one of the things that I really liked that they did is they brought back all the skins and other unique cosmetics from last year's event, and they made them they have a mechanic in the game where if you get dupes and stuff, you get coins that you can use to craft things you want, and so like event exclusive ones can only be crafted during the events. Well, last year's stuff is back and it's in the loot table, but it can also be crafted, and it only costs what a normal item of that rarity would cost, which was a nice change. I thought that was really cool. But yeah, no, Fortnite, I played that a few weeks ago. And I feel like a lot of people who were playing Fortnite aren't going to bother to play it anymore.
Why is that?
Well, you see, Fortnite is getting a lot of negative press at the moment because it is a early access game that is set to be released next year. Now, it's a paid early access,
That's basically a paid beta, right?
Yeah, essentially. But the game's been in beta for like 3-4 years. Like, they've had a whole bunch of beta periods and stuff, and there's been people who've been playing it for a long time, and ultimately they say they've refined some things, but the game itself at its core hasn't changed that much in recent years. But the big hang-up is it's a paid early access situation, and the game is driven by microtransactions, namely loot crates. All of the best items and progression stuff are tied up in loot crates. In this case, they're called llamas. And yeah, it's really bad. Like, I played the game for a couple weeks with some friends. It's fun to play with your friends, but there's a whole bunch of concurrent systems like that aren't complementary. Really, it's very jarring and confusing at first. There's a whole bunch of like stuff that you got to focus on, and a lot of it doesn't really contribute to very much. And all of the best stuff is locked behind these crates. And you can get, you know, I think you earn a crate every other day or so. If you do the daily log in and do your dailies all the time, and stuff like that. And, you know, you get a few here and there for progressing through the story quests and whatnot. But basically, their plan is for eventually this game is going to be free to play. And when it's free to play, that's going to be the monetization model, is these crates. And the community, there's a few people who are defending it, but there's a lot of people who are like, this sucks, and it's pretty greedy, and there's not much to this game outside of this, you know, having all this stuff tied behind that mechanic. So, because you can't, for example, like, we've all played games that have monetization, like free-to-play games and stuff. I mean, that's... This network is born out of From the Helicarrier that was based on Facebook game that had monetization like that. But the thing about that game was always, like, we could always grind things out. Like, almost anything could be achieved if you worked hard enough. You know, if you were good with your resource allocation and you did the work, you could usually earn enough currency to have everything. And that is not the case in this. You're going to get... On top of it being about the microtransactions, it's also RNG. I mean, they're crates. They're loot crates. It's all, you know, you crack it open and you get something random. And sometimes it's good.
They did not do that. It wasn't the randomness.
Right. And that's the thing is it's, you know, so people are frustrated because a lot of games that do the loot crate thing, like Overwatch I just mentioned, everything in those crates is purely cosmetic. Like, it's all, you know, tagging, you know, sprays for tagging and voice lines and emotes and victory poses and skins. It's all purely cosmetic. Like, you can play you buy Overwatch, you get access to all the characters automatically, and you can play every mode in the game. You don't need, you know, to pay another cent ever. Right. So, thus far. Everything is cosmetic. And if you want to buy crates, you can. Same thing with Heroes of the Storm, their MOBA game. You know, and it's just like there are lots of games that do crates for cosmetics, but this is just, it's pretty low, if I'm honest. And the game just, it kind of slows to a crawl after a little while. Like, the first few days is really fun, and then, yeah. So, I don't have particularly high hopes for Fortnite, unfortunately. I don't know that they're going to recover.
That sucks. Chris, what have you been watching and playing this week?
Catching up on season 3 of You're the Worst, and that's about it between that and a whole hell of a lot of stuff at work.
So you're watching family videos of your wife talking to you?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I actually thought Klaus might back me up on that, but nope. You're like, yo.
Well, no, I was gonna drop that one on you initially, but...
No, that's fair enough. I actually saw the first season and parts of the first season and haven't got back into it yet. I thought it was pretty funny what I did see there. Either one of you guys watching Preacher at all?
Oh, yeah, I guess I am. I'm finishing catching up on Preacher. I'm caught up on Preacher, so I'm waiting for the next episode to come.
I'm not quite caught up, but the whole, all I'll drop is the Nazi guy. So yes. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. That episode, one of the most amazing by far.
I did finish season one last week.
Oh, so what did you think of season one, man?
I thought that was a pretty nifty way to clean out the cast. Right. It was cool. It kind of took an unexpected turn. I think that show did a really good job of building up a whole bunch of characters and like kind of structuring something to go forward. I loved that final episode. Everything about it, though, like, oh man.
Yeah.
The phone call, like, I'm being vague here.
Right, right. Because people very spoiler like.
Right. The phone call was fantastic, and the twist in it, and like all that stuff. Like, it was really great. Really, I'm gonna put it plainly. It's pretty ballsy too. You know, like a lot of the stuff in the show, and they get away with a lot for being on AMC. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, definitely some high praise. Now that I'm thinking about it, though, I did watch something else in the past week that I thought was pretty great, and I'm not talking about the Game of Thrones early league
episode.
We'll
get into all that stuff.
No, I know. There's a new show on, I believe it's on Netflix. It might be on Hulu. I can't remember. It's called Atypical.
I think that's Hulu?
It might be on Hulu. So basically, it is about a young man who's 18, senior in high school, who has, he's high functioning autistic.
Oh, the doctor one. Yeah, okay.
And you know, it's kind of about him going to therapy, but also like going through normal high school stuff, dealing with his family as well, his mom and his dad and his younger sister. Or she might be an old, no, she's a younger sister, that's right. Really cool show. Like, it's funny. It's heartfelt at points. It's very real, I felt like. Like, it has a lot of real life in it, like a lot of real life emotion and struggles, and it really looks at, like, you know, what somebody who's autistic deals with in day-to-day life and what it's like to be a parent of somebody like that. But it's not hyper preachy, because it definitely highlights some of the, you know, how you cannot kind of end up in a bubble when you're a family that has to deal with an issue like that, and you structure your whole life around it, and how you can just kind of be oblivious to how it impacts other people sometimes too. But it really cool. It was a lot of fun. I mean, it's definitely got a fair bit of comedy in it. I really enjoyed that aspect of it. Michael Rapaport is the dad. He was great.
Oh, nice. I like him.
Yeah. He was really good. And then Jennifer Jason Leigh is the,
nice. I love her.
Yeah, so it's it was good. You know, it's enjoyable. And so I highly recommend it if you're into that kind of stuff. It's pretty cool.
I'm staying behind in seasons. Although I will second your post, Klotz, on previous seasons of Game of Thrones paced, sometimes slowly. This one balls to the wall out of the gate. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's every episode's been, is this the final season? I mean, I find myself asking, is this the final season? Because holy crap, you're doing so much in every episode. Although I know it's not the final season.
I believe they're looking to wrap it up, and then I think there's at least one more. There might be two more.
I think there's seven and six.
We're in seven now. Well, we're starting to approach territory of no books.
Right. No, I mean episode count. I think this season, because there was only supposed to be 13 episodes between the last two seasons. I think this is the 7-episode season, and next season is the 6, if I remember correctly.
I don't remember the numbers, but I knew from listening to The Current Geek, I know they said the last one, it's the season finale or the last two episodes of the season will be an hour and a half instead of an hour.
Yeah.
And season 8 will be a shorter season, but all episodes will be an hour and a half long. I don't know about the number of shows. I know we're on episode 7 right now, not counting the leak. I think we're on 6 or 7 right now. So
we're on 6 with the leak.
With the leak, okay. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very close. It's so good. But typically, I'm watching last season of Elementary, which is about the CBS show about Sherlock Holmes, and love that show. Love Johnny, man. He is so good. I haven't seen Trainspotting 2 yet. I want to do that, but Johnny Lee is really talented actor, and I'm enjoying him. Watching The Golden Girls with my wife. oddly enough, great show that really holds up, even from the early, what was that, mid-80s, was it?
Mid to late.
Mid to late, yeah. I don't think it was quite 90s.
They ran into the 90s, if I recall correctly.
You know what? You know who would know? Name drop! Tony P. Henderson. He would know. He's a huge Golden Girls fan. Dude got so excited about they came out Funko Pops with the Golden Girls, and that man lost his mind, right? He loved it. I was like, you go, man. Don't ever be afraid of what you love. It's all good. So,
it ran from September of 1985 to May of 1992.
Wow, that went a lot later than
180 half-hour episodes over 7 seasons.
Yeah, I'm watching that and Cheers and Love. I mean, I love, because I remember watching them as a kid. You know, stuff you watch as a kid doesn't always hold up, right? But first season of Cheers, first season of Golden Girls is definitely held up. And that's what I'm doing. I'm playing, what did I just, oh, yeah, I've been playing Marvel Heroes Omega with my son, and that's been fun. And I'm back in Future Fight on mobile devices, and that's pretty cool, too.
I tried to get back in. I'm not really feeling it.
Yeah, I know Mug is pushing for me, you, and Ibbot to play it, so we'll bring back from another helicarrier is what he wants us to do about that show.
Yeah.
I don't hold a whole lot of hopes for that, but I'm enjoying it. I think it's fun. So, all right. Well, you know what? We're going to hit the break here, and you know how this goes. Listen to it. Have fun. We'll be back in just a moment with the HBO hack, stuff about MoviePass, and a little bit more. And we're back, and here's another quick speak pipe. You can go to giantsizeteamup.com/breakingthepanel, and right there on our site, it's the speak pipe tab. Click it, leave your message. It's awesome. We'll play it on the show. And here is a speak pipe message from the website.
I'm Mr. Meeseeks. Look at me. Ooh, yeah. Charles asked me to help him catch all the Pokemon, but I'm not supposed to be here this long. It's getting weird.
I like it. It's a lot of fun. And again, Klaus is right. My Mr. Meeseeks was more Elmo than anything else. My bad. So.
Elmo would like you to step correct.
Oh my God. Oh, that's almost as good as the memes of Elmo dancing on the planets and they put some nasty rap behind it or something. Oh, those memes are great. You got me, man. I never saw that one coming. That hurt. You did well.
My absolute favorite Elmo meme is the one with him on the toilet. Just dancing on the toilet.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Oh, that hurt. Oh, man, that was good.
And it's often accompanied by the line, boss makes a dollar, I make a dime. That's why I poop on company time.
Oh, man, you triggered a story. You triggered a story. This is Pee Wee's Playhouse. Wah! Nothing? All right, fine. But I'll still tell my story anyway. So there's a musical group called Paul and Storm out there, and they've been around for a long time. They do comedy music. They're very podcast-friendly. No, I don't know them. I'm not name-dropping. They're just fun musicians, right? They do a song called Taking a Dump at Work. And one day, well, I was in an office, and just the bathrooms would get destroyed. And you'd walk past, after lunch, you'd walk past the hallway, and it would just stink out of both men and women's things. So I sent that song to my boss, who loved it so much that he CC'd the entire freaking company to hear the song Taking a Dump at Work. It's great. If you've never heard it, you should Google it. It is an amazing song. It's good stuff. All right, so this has been in the news recently, and we've definitely discussed it a lot amongst the host of Giant Size Team Up, and how it goes. My wife even found the news story and shared it with me, because we always look to save money going to the movies. I mean, who doesn't, right? I was not aware that box offices were suffering attendance this year, down from other years, because the movies we watch, right, the superhero movies, are just killing it in numbers, from my perspective. But apparently box offices are low, and there's a service. It's been around since, I think, they say 2014, called MoviePass, where it's one of the co-founders of Netflix, or one of the people who worked on the high parts of Netflix. I don't have the article in front of me, but he might have been a co-founder, he might have been a VP, but he was in the upper echelon of Netflix, right, and part of that. He went to another subscription company. Chris, you remember off the top of your head? He went to Redbox.
Redbox.
Yeah, he went to Redbox. So it's not quite a subscription, but kind of that model of here's something more affordable and easy way to get it and a different model. So he was CEO of Redbox, I want to say, for a while. Just was named recently CEO of MoviePass. And the idea is for a subscription fee, you can go to a movie a day with using this app. And you have to have Android or iPhone device. And you pay your monthly fee to them, and once a day, I'm assuming it's one ticket per subscription, you can go to the kiosk, if your movie theater has a kiosk, and use the app to do the barcode. It'll print out a ticket for you. Presumably, MoviePass pays either negotiated prices with the theaters or full price. Well, the controversy is it's been as high as $50 a month, which honestly is a fair price. If you go to 5 movies a month, you broke even, right? Depending on when you go, because some cities it's as high as $12 for a primetime movie. I know when AMC theaters in my area changed from the mall to a different part of town, they bought out the Carmike and took over there. The mall, I could go during the day, pretty much any day of the week, $5. So that's a really good deal on a movie, $5 per person. Now the minimum is $8 per person, and definitely anytime after school's out or weekends, it's almost $10, right at $10 a person. And that's just a regular 2D version. I'm not including 3D or IMAX. So $50 for 5 movies, that's you break even. It's a little pricey for me because I don't have the time to go to 5 movies a month, but if you did, there it is. Well, they've played with the different pricing schemes, or pricing plans, rather. Right now, it's $10 a month. However, AMC is not very happy about this, and without dragging the article out, we had a good discussion. Do you guys think that this is a model that can be sustained for any period of time, especially if one of the big boys of movie theaters says no?
Well, so specifically what AMC said is, they're like, they basically were like, we don't know how they're going to sustain this because we're going to charge them full bang for every movie that they, every pass that they generate through their service. So basically they said, we're not taking a cut, like, or like a dip.
Right. It's non-negotiated. They're full price.
Right. And so, and you know, their movie tickets are nearly $10 a person, pretty much no matter what. So, basically, yeah, I really feel like if you're a MoviePass subscriber, you should probably like start swiping that card pretty hard and see every movie you want to see until it goes out of business, because I don't see it lasting very long.
I mean, it might not go out of business, but it has to raise the price back up. Right?
I don't know if this is a thing that is recoverable, though, is the problem. Like, they slashed their price down to $10 a month from $50. So that's, you know, lopping 4/5 of the price off. All right. And right. Then, you know, you've got the movie theaters digging in saying, well, we're not, you know, we're not giving up anything on our end. So we don't know what, you know what I mean? And I feel like that, you know, I think the hope is probably that they're going to get a whole bunch of like any subscription service. The hope is we're going to get, you know, X number of million of people who subscribe.
Yeah.
And then only so many of them are actually going to use the service, and most of them aren't going to use it more than once or twice a month or whatever, so we'll be fine. And of course, like anything like this, there's also the possibility that there will be people who don't, you know, do anything. You know what I mean? Like, they don't use it right at all. So it's hard to say. I just think that this is a mess, though. Like, this is clearly not something that, I just don't know. I don't know how it's sustainable. I don't know what their back end is. Well, maybe they have better deals with certain theaters, and AMC is just being like, no, you know, I don't know.
Part of the restructuring is they were gonna sell your data, because they're gonna collect the data on the movies that you watch.
And
they're selling that.
I personally, if I were to subscribe, I'm only speaking for my personal preferences, I'm okay with that. That to me sounds like a frequent shopper card, right? Where one of the local grocery stores here is called Kroger. I know they're part of a chain across the United States. They might have different names in different areas, but I get a Kroger Plus card and we swipe it and people are like, oh my God, they're tracking your selling your data. Yeah, but you know what I do get for that? One, I do get discounts that normal people, quotey fingers, don't get, which we know is a lie because the cashiers will scan a store card for you. But what my wife loves is we get specified coupons sent to us to go get the brands that we buy or the products that we buy. Or in Kroger's case, or in even Publix, which is another store that's local to actually the East Coast, a Publix chain, is they'll do, hey, you liked, let's say, Red Baron pizza, so come try Kroger brand pizza for free, you know, to see if you'll start buying it. So I'm honestly, personally, not afraid of them selling my movie-going data, because honestly, if you want to know what movies I see, just listen to Breaking the Panel. All I ever have time for now is the major superhero movies because we cover them, right? But
well,
what do you think?
So obviously, using the data, you know, if they're just selling my movie-going habits, I really don't care. You can tell whoever you want about that. And if that's how I get to save a bunch of money on tickets, that's fair. What I wouldn't be okay with is the usual BS that goes on with anybody who sells your data, where they're, like, giving my name and my address and my phone number and my email to a whole bunch of other companies.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm not so sure it's worth it, because I don't think I'm going to save so much that it's worth dealing with all those extra headaches, all those extra cold calls, emails, you know, physical junk mail. Like, I don't know that I want all that hassle in my life for that. We'd have to look at the terms and conditions. If it's literally just going to be used for customer research, I don't care. You know, that's fine. Run with it. But if you're selling my actual data, and, you know, my personal information, if you're selling my docs, if you will, that I'm not okay with, and I'm not going to sign up for your service. So,
I get where you're coming from, but at the same time, it's yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think of it.
I think it all depends on how invasive the sign-up is. You know what I mean? Because they issue you basically a MasterCard is what you get your movies on. So it's not even really linked to any of your
Yeah, I see that now. It says that you get like a debit card in the mail. So, I thought so, you only could do it on an app, but I was mistaken.
So, but I guess what I'm saying is if this is like Hulu or Netflix, it's more driven off of your email address than anything. So if this is the same way, if it's not super invasive, and then really all they have the ability to track is your movie, and that's just me talking without going into the terms and looking, but
well, right now I'm going through the process just to see what they ask for. You can sign up with Facebook or just your email, then it asks you your street information. I imagine it's going to get a form of payment from it. I'm going to stop right here because my wife is actually interested for as long as it lasts type of deal. But it's going to be obviously $20 a month for us because it'd be a minimum of two tickets, and that's not including the kids. But I think it's going to get your basic sign up, right? Your form of payment, your address, your date of birth, right? And of course, if you attach it to Facebook, it'll have whatever data is on Facebook as well that you give it or that it asks for or whatever. That I guess that is invasive. But here's the next question that I have. Is this the future of our online society? Is we get things cheaper, right? We get things economically, if you will, at the cost of our privacy.
Part of what I was going to say is honestly, a lot of our information's already out there. If you've ever signed up for just about anything, your data's probably been sold. Facebook, you know, you mentioned being able to sign up with Facebook. You'll notice that a lot of services allow you to just sign up with Facebook now. That's because they already have all the data in there.
Yeah.
And so they can pull that data and do whatever they want with it. I think the reality is, though, we're rapidly approaching a future where who are you going to be able to sell our data to if everybody owns it already?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, so... Yeah.
But yeah, it's weird though, because like AMC is one that's really, I know they were planning on suing. I know there's talk of whether or not they're going to accept MoviePass anymore, but you essentially have, they would have to stop accepting MasterCard, I think was another article I was reading, for them to do a blanket denial. They're going to have to not accept MasterCard as a form of payment at AMC theaters. And I really don't understand what their problem with it is, because again, yeah, they're getting their money. And if anything, now you, as a person that just paid $10 to go see a movie, you have more money to use on what? Concessions? What? Where you make your money? What? So I don't get what the beef is.
That, yeah, I had that thought too, Chris. It's like, now, okay, if I'm paying $10 a month to go to a movie, odds are I'm not going to drop $30 in concessions every single time if I'm going once a week or once a day. Yeah, oh, I know if I go once a day, I'm definitely not spending that money because I don't have that money. But yeah, I mean, that was kind of my thought process was, but you're going to get more. I mean, they're still paying you for the tickets, but at the same time, AMC has the right to refuse service. I don't mean just refuse service. Like, they can say no passes. I know Disney says no passes for 2 weeks. Certain other movies say no passes. Certain ones will take a black AMC pass, which is a universal ticket, versus a red pass, or gold pass, rather, which is a gift card, if you will, but it's a free pass. So those passes don't count. Disney has their own deal with AMC to give you a green pass, which is a Disney pass. So if you have that, you can actually use it on Disney movies.
But this isn't a pass. So.
But is it or isn't it? Because you can use the app to.
But it's linked to that. It's linked to that prepaid MasterCard. So this is payment that goes to. Like, you can use this on opening night of Star Wars Last Jedi if you want.
And that's.
But it's only good for 2D. It's only good for 2D movies.
Right. No, that's fine.
And again, the theater is not taking a loss. The theater's not taking a loss. This it's all on MoviePass. They're the ones that are taking the chance here.
Yeah, I don't understand. I'm with you. I don't understand their beef. I definitely understand Klotz and what he's saying about the sustainability and the information and this and that. But, I mean, the quote was from AMC spokesperson. The quote was, "I don't know how you can float this lead balloon." Like, wow, that's pretty honestly brutal talk about something that's not costing you money.
Okay, so here's a boilerplate of their concern. I just found another article. It says, basically, AMC said it does not believe that MoviePass has a sustainable business model, claiming it will eventually go out of business. The theater chain's concern is that by the time that happens, people have gotten used to paying just a few dollars per movie and will stop going to the movies altogether due to the high price tag.
Then lower your cost of your price.
Yeah, tag. Meet demand.
I mean, I was just on AMC's website. I'm going to go back there. But that is my issue. When you're at a theater in a mall, you were giving me $5 daytime tickets up to like 6 p.m., $5 tickets through the weekend. Saturdays it still worked up until lunchtime. So the movies on the weekend, if you went to a morning show, it'd be $5. Then it graduated up from there to $12 being the highest price. And this is what, dang it. It's not what I want to, clicked on the wrong, I hate pop-up stuff. I'm trying to get their thing where they're actually responding. I see this new thing on their website. But when it went to just across town, so it's a matter of 15 minutes drive difference. But when they went across town, 20-minute drive difference, that's it, to a theater that's in just as populated area as the mall was, just, again, a different drive, their prices, they just took on the Carmike pricing, which was instantly $8.95 per ticket. There's literally one time slot during the day that you can get it for $6.95 a ticket. Not all day before that time slot, just in between 4 o'clock and 5:30. If you get a movie in between 4 o'clock and 5:30 to start, you can get it for $6.95. Other than that, it's $8.95 before it, $8.95 after, with some caveats for military, senior citizens, and children. And then it goes up from there. If you get after 8 o'clock, it goes up to $10.95. And, of course, weekends is 10 or 11. That was like, what is going on? Why are you charging me so much when the same exact company charged me $5 at an earlier time just to get business? Because business isn't big on a Wednesday afternoon at 1 p.m. because everybody's at work or school. Well, I believe this is an answer to the MoviePass thing. Is for a limited time, if you are part of their Stubbs member program, which I am because I actually enjoyed the program. It's a really cool thing that they do. $5 Tuesdays is what they're doing for a limited time. But you have to be a member, which costs money. It's $12 a year, I want to say. No, I think they changed that. They give you free membership for the basic, and a premium is the premium membership is like $12 a year. But you get more stuff, whatever. They're doing $5 Tuesdays for a limited time. Honestly, not good enough, right? I'll take that as a right.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Klotz, I know you don't get out to see a ton of films, although you seem to see more than me. On the surface, would MoviePass be a good deal for you?
I think MoviePass at its current pricing would prompt me to see movies more often. I would probably catch a movie every weekend or so. Maybe not, you know, not definitively every weekend, but,
sure.
You know, like, I'm looking at recently, for example, and, you know, the new Spider-Man came out, and then Dunkirk came out. You know, like, there were a bunch of movies that I would have seen this month and last month, you know what I mean? Some stuff that, you know, I would probably go see more stuff, like, you know, I just watched the new Baywatch movie this week online. I thought about going to see that in the theater, but I was like, you know what? I can't justify spending $10 to see a movie that is probably going to be garbage. And honestly, I enjoyed it. It wasn't worth $10 to me. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm glad I didn't go see it in the theater. But if I was paying X amount, you know, to have a membership that would get me in to see more movies, I would probably have gone and saw it anyways, you know? And I really think, like, maybe that's what the movie theater industry needs. Is how do you incentivize people to start showing up more often? Like Chris said earlier, you make most of your money off concessions. So why don't you start letting people in on the cheap? You know what I mean? Like there's got to be a way to set it up. And now maybe it's like what you were talking about where like you do those off peak times where, and you know, I imagine that $5, if not all of it, most of it was probably going to the production company. You know what I mean? So it was like they were basically sacrificing their cut, I would say. You know what I mean? To be able to get you in there on the cheap so that hopefully you buy some concessions. And, you know, they have to have people there working the theater anyways during those time slots.
You can't have the doors open without people. Yeah.
So you might as well get some bodies in there. Because that's the other thing, too, is having a few bodies in there generates interest. You might bring somebody with you. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I mean, I really think MoviePass might fall on their face with this, but a smart movie theater chain might look at this as an opportunity. Now, where I live here in town, we only have one movie theater in town, and it's Marquee Cinemas. And Marquee Cinemas is a small chain. They only have like 21 locations across the entire country, and they have like one per state. So they're a really niche, you know, smaller company. But they're pretty good. What we liked about them here is they brought a, you know, stadium style seating with high quality digital video and really good audio at a time when, you know, the local like Hoyts or whatever it was back in the day didn't offer that. You know what I mean? And they put that other theater out of business really quickly. And the next closest theater for me is 20 minutes away. And so I bring this up because it's like if they were to do something like this because they're the only gig in town, I would absolutely give them $10. I would give them $15 a month to be able to see, you know, even if it was only one movie a week or something, you know, like go see one movie a week whenever you want kind of thing. Okay, I'm down.
Deal.
I mean, give me a bulk deal and I'll probably go see a movie every week, you know what I mean? Or just give me X amount of, you know, movies that I can go see in a month, you know, and I can ration that out how I choose. Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's opportunity there. You know what I mean? Obviously, there would have to be some stipulation stuff to keep it in check. But yeah, no, I mean, I think the business model can work. I just don't. I feel like MoviePass might have set themselves up to fail on it. You know what I mean?
You know, we talked about Netflix earlier, previous episodes. And I was thinking, well, that's kind of the Netflix model, right? We operate at a loss at first, but we get to the point where we could be sustainable. And we talked about that with Netflix. That if push came to shove today and they lost Disney today, I think they could pay off enough of their debts and say, okay, put a hold on all the new creations, blah, 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 blah. Let's restrict spending money, but we'll be okay. We'll survive. That's my theory. I think you're right. MoviePass is one of the article says 2011 that they've been around. So that's a pretty decent long time. It says it works supposedly with 91% of theaters. AMC says they might be looking at ways to stop it. They're threatening a lawsuit, which honestly though, what could you sue here? They're still paying you. It's their loss, yeah, not yours.
As long as MoviePass is still paying the agreed upon pricing, I don't see what the problem is.
I mean, that whole I think a judge would say, or even precursor to a judge, I think a lawyer would say, okay, your whole idea of, well, they'll get used to it and then they don't want to pay your exorbitant fees. Now, I think it's ridiculous to expect to get a movie, you know, 30-ish movies in a month for $10 straight from AMC. That's ridiculous. But I think what's hurting them right now, I got to tell you, we say this in my house all the time. That looks really cool. But I'll wait till it hits HBO or Netflix. I'm really not going to spend $10, $15. I mean, for me, I always want to take my wife with me. So that's a minimum. Well, it was a minimum of $10. Plus, we do like concessions, and we work the club, and we get our discounts. But we will spend, on an average movie, $10 to get in. But we know that goes right to the movie companies typically. And then we'll spend another $20 on concessions to get our two drinks and a popcorn.
Yep.
So for us, $30 date. And we do it time-wise and money-wise once, well, for the superhero film. So once every couple of months on average, if you put it out throughout the year. Sometimes it's twice within a month because like Guardians and Wonder Woman.
You probably, based on having known you for a few years, I'd say you probably see at least one movie a month on average.
On average, yeah, on average. That would be fair.
Maybe not quite 12 a year, but close. Yeah. I think that's pretty average for anybody who's pretty in the movies and the experience of going to the theater once in a while. You know, I don't think that's out of the norm. I think I know, like back in the day, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I went to the movies way more often. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Before kids. Yeah.
Yeah. Even when I was in high school and I lived a half an hour away from civilization because I grew up in a rural town, a farm town. We would still, you know, pick one of the weekends, my friends and I in high school, we'd go see a movie, you know what I mean, at least once in a while. So, yeah, I mean, and that's, I'm just stressing that, like, there's opportunity there. I think you just mentioned something, though, like the $20 concessions for two people. Yeah, I mean, that's what's turning a lot of people away, is if you want to get a beverage and a big bowl of popcorn to share, $20 is obscene, like...
For 25 cents worth of popcorns.
Yeah. A medium soda should not be like $6.50 minimum. You know what I mean? Like, come on. Like, you're kidding me.
And they charge the $6.50 for the medium so that they can upsell you to the $7.25 gallon.
Quarter.
You know, and I will say, much like Ibbot used to say about investing into the game, you know, MAA that we've referenced tonight. This is us paying them to keep the overhead, right? To keep the lights on, to keep more content coming. I will say, I understand that popcorn in the massive bucket cost you 25 cents. Let's just say 50 cents, right? Let's be generous. And that Coke cost you, the cup and the soda cost you, because you're using the machines now. It's way more accurate on the mix, so it really cost you, let's say, another 50 cents. So $1.50 it cost you for me to pay $20. But I understand you're out of that $12 ticket at your max price, or, you know, sometimes IMAX 3D can be as high as $18 a person. Mm-hmm. You're not seeing that for the most part. You might get a little cut of it, but you're not getting money from that. That's my tax to keep you in business because I like your company and I want to come to this theater, blah, 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 blah. But, and again, I paid them directly $12 a year. I mean, it's a very minimal amount to be a part of the club. That club lets me order the medium drinks and the medium popcorn and automatically get a large upgrade on both. So it saves me money. So I'm paying $15 instead of $20. That's good for me. But again, I take all of that in consideration when I'm picking out a film. And let me get out my old man Kane here for a second. When I was dating my wife in 1999, I was dating my wife. Movie tickets would maybe cost $8 for the two of us to get in. Mm-hmm. And the combo that we're talking about, the two drinks and a popcorn, $8.50 is what it was then. And in the time that I, because that's what we did, like you said, Klotz, we sometimes we go to 2-3 movies a weekend, you know, because it's just good stuff out. On our anniversary, after we got married, we'd go to a film and we would leave our kids. After we had kids, we'd leave the kids with the grandparents or whatever to spend the night. So we go sometimes to a film in the day, go out to eat in the afternoon, and then turn around and go to another movie that night because it was our anniversary and we're celebrating and we're spending a lot of money in your one theater. But we have to take into consideration every single time we go. Now, was a minimum of 30. It's now gone up to a minimum of $40 a pop. At $30 a pop at once a month, you're talking about $360 a year. At $20 a month, what is that, two times, 240, I could save well over $100 to come see a movie once a week. And but then, I don't know, these concessions, man, it kills me. So I'm going to take the route of saving money, giving it to somebody else who's supposed to pay you, but you're, I think that's it. I think that's the key. They're mad because even though MoviePass will pay them for the ticket price, they don't get a cut of that. And they know people who are looking to save a deal aren't going to spend $40 on, I almost said the F word, but on concessions every single time.
No, but I think they I think they're forgetting the fact that they will pay more for concession because you're paying $10 a month. $10 a month.
So yeah, I just swipe my card, walk in.
I got up to 31 movies a month.
Yeah.
I mean, or you know, depending on the month, you know, 29, 28, 30, 31. But there's so much more that you have the opportunity. A, you're getting them in the theater. Conceivably, you're getting them in the theater more often. And they have more money to spend on your concessions. And now, I love it. I'm going to preface this. I love AMC theaters. They're far of all the movie theaters that I, big chains that I've been to, AMC is if I get the opportunity to go, that's where I'm going. I like what they have done with the remodeled concessions area. I feel like the flow moves faster. It's more efficient. But have you noticed that the prices have gone up while they're shifting more of the labor to the customer?
Yes.
Like, you get your own drink now, which that sounds cool, but that's part, you know, they used to pay somebody to do that.
Right.
While you don't bag your own popcorn, now you're getting your own butter, your own, you used to be, you know, I mean, yeah, and that's, you're picking up your own candy. You're picking up your own bottled drinks if that's what you want. It's not somebody handing it to you anymore. So that's what makes it more efficient because everybody grabs their own. But then you also have to look at that as an opportunity cost where they used to pay an employee to do that. Mm-hmm. So they're saving some money there.
But is that savings getting passed on to us?
No, exactly. It's not. So and that's where I love AMC, but their prices have gone up while they're shifting more of the labor to me. Yeah. Like I come there to work.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean that's the point. I mean, because honestly, I want them to make a profit because business is not about breaking even; it's about making money.
Yep.
And I want them to make a profit. I want them to do more awesome stuff. I want them to support indie films like AMC has. I've gone to see, two indie films, but that's way more than I ever went to see before they let me see them. And they invited me because I was a member. I got to go see those for free. And I did, and they were fantastic films and exposed me to art, basically, versus a blockbuster film. I don't want to get into the discussion of what art is, but it exposed a film that I probably never would have seen. That was fantastic.
Art is an explosion.
Because they supported it. But, you know, I think we've harped on this a little bit. I think we are kind of hesitantly thumbs up on MoviePass, but we're definitely like, yeah, AMC, get your game together.
I am like, AMC, get your game together. Don't be the crotchety old man on this one.
Yeah.
Welcome it. Be like, if you're worried that they're going to go under, then use them while they're here, and that gives you time to figure out a business model going forward after their collapse.
Yep. Mm-hmm. All right.
Hope for the best, expect the worst.
I love that. Perfect. Which one of you guys is more eager to talk about this HBO hack? God, I hate you guys so much tonight.
Long story short, HBO got hacked. We talked about that before. However, what happened this week wasn't actually a hack.
No.
This week's episode of Game of Thrones.
Well, hold on. Let's recap what happened real quick. Is a group hacked in HBO, stole a whole lot of stuff. They did a little bit of a leak, including a script for an upcoming show that hadn't been released. Game of Thrones episode.
They had the first four episodes of the season.
Right. So they did a little bit of a leak, didn't do a ransom. Then they did a bigger leak, including contracts with actors, what people are getting paid, not doxing them yet, right? I don't think. They didn't like release phone numbers of like Anna Faris or anything. But they are threatening to basically dox celebrities and release all these episodes that haven't been released yet unless they get paid millions of dollars. Now what did HBO do in response?
Well, you want to steal it, we're just going to put it out there.
I wish
they would have owned it and spun it that way. That would have been so much better, but they didn't.
Yeah.
They just accidentally released it to streaming services, and it was in Europe, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was not on their app on the Roku box. It's not on HBO.
It was Spain and another country that were it was released to both for a few hours, and then it was obviously that's how it got disseminated elsewhere.
And that's all it takes.
All it takes is like 10 minutes, and it's out.
Yeah.
Just long enough for somebody who knows what they're doing to notice, copy, and distribute. And then it goes from there, right?
In other news related to this, too, was within... so that released... It was yesterday that it mistakenly released it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That sounds right.
So,
yeah.
Like, 2 or 3 days prior to that, they had actually caught some of the hackers, arrested 4 people in India. They were part of the group that hacked them.
Mm.
So the legal system's working. And the investigative arm is working. But
nice. Now, I honestly thought, obviously I didn't I didn't read crap about it, but after hearing about the leak, I thought that's actually what HBO was doing was, hey, you want to steal it? Screw you guys. We're going to put it out anyway. Because the way I saw posts on Facebook, the way it was presented was basically that. Like, this is an official release to say screw you guys. But that was not the case. This was a Cody Fingers accidental release?
Yep.
Cody Fingers.
Man, why didn't I not own it? I definitely would have flaunted it.
Because they can't legally. They have all these different... You got to keep in mind they have all these different agreements with providers and whatnot to stream and provide that content and on demand and everything under the sun. And they would be beholden to all of them if they were to just own it like that.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. That does make sense. There's still the people to wait. I'm waiting.
Chris and I did not wait.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Well, so here's the thing, though. We've talked about piracy on the show before. We tend to lean in if it's feasible to not pirate, we don't pirate. In the case of this, I care a lot about Game of Thrones. I didn't want to have it ruined for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it coming out on a Wednesday and having 4 full days, you know what I mean? I just did not want to risk somebody ruining what happened for me. So I wanted to see. And our life is social media, right? You know, with the network and everything, we're tapped in 24/7. You know, there's no vacations from social media except when Chris runs off to the desert to play tanks. and do, you know, filing paperwork in the field and stuff. But I wasn't having it. So, and a whole bunch of my friends were already starting to jump on it on social media. So I was like, I got to get in this. So, yeah.
I would like to reiterate the Dragon Con number one rule, which is don't be a jerk. You know that you watched it. Don't ruin it for other people. No, you know that people are going to be too busy. They don't know how to download.
People just can't help themselves, though, dude. Like, they're going to talk about it. And you know what the problem is, too? It's like for Facebook, for example. The way Facebook is structured, somebody will comment in the body of a chain where they're thinking, oh, I can say it safely down here because it's not the top comment, so people won't see it. But the way Facebook likes to sort comments now, it will get featured right there. You know what I mean? So you just can't risk it anymore, man.
This is one of the few times I get to say I'm glad I don't have that many friends because I don't have to worry about seeing
a
whole lot.
Well, that's funny you say that, Charles, because as we wrap the show up tonight, I just wanted to say thank you for being a friend.
That's awesome. And you're right, we got to wrap it up. I did see the meme, though. I don't honestly know if you shared it, Paul, or where I saw it, because I see a lot of my memes from you, and I love a lot of them. But so I put out... I don't know the character or what the maybe it's referencing.
It's Narcos. It's
okay.
Yeah, it's
you have seen it.
Yeah. I shared it. It's Pablo Escobar.
Escobar. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
From Narco, and it shows him just like shuffling around his compound because he's kind of like tied up there, like he can't leave. And it's like when you've seen the leaked the episode, leak. And it's now 10 days until the next episode, not it's seven. Yeah. It was really accurate. Yeah, it's gonna be a long week and a half.
Yeah, well, not for me because I'm gonna wait till Monday to see it.
I'm just gonna ruin it for you right now.
Yeah.
Tune in next week to hear Klaus say,
you know, we don't choke. Do that kind of show.
Well, ceiling murder will be a thing in your life. I'm just telling you right now. So, all right. You know what? That is going to be it for tonight because we got stuff to do. And it's been an interesting week. We definitely want you to come out and see us at DragonCon. Please come visit us at the Podcasting Track. It is in Galleria 6 in the basement of the Hilton. It's a very new renovation that they did this year. We have a brand new room. I mean, not just brand new for the podcast track, but brand spanking new room that people haven't used yet. And it's going to be awesome. And so come and check us out. We're going to be on a ton of panels spread out through the 4 days. And it's going to be great. Email us btp@giantsizeteamup.com and listen to Botched. If you missed that email address, they will stress what that email address is for you. And if you'd like to give us some support, patreon.com/breakingthepanel. Tune in next week to hear Chris Wisdom say
Cthulhu. Charles, they introduced Cthulhu in this episode of Dragon of Game of Thrones.
Breaking the Panel is the flagship podcast on the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can support the show at patreon.com/breakingthepanel, and you'll find more of our amazing podcasts at giantsizeteamup.com.